Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. It is May and it's Mental Health Awareness Month. And I'm so honored to have Shay Mitchell back on the Diva Discussions. Shay, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me back. Great to talk to you as always.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to let you know, I want to congratulate you. You are such a mental health warrior. And your own day-to-day, like one day at a time, you've just reached 2 years of sobriety. What does that feel like?
Crazy. It's one of those, can't believe it's been 2 years, and also like, you know, has it really been 2 years? Yeah, it's just, it's forever and the shortest amount of time all at the same time. But it's great. I feel so good.
Well, and I think we can add another kind of title to that. You have 2 years of sobriety during the pandemic. So you made this decision during lockdown and your own personal one. And we've got other shows we've done. But I think sometimes I like to model just being in the moment of this moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was thinking about our last show where you were vulnerable about just almost having a relapse. And then I know you've shared with me that some of the childhood things that happened to you, you know, this is Mental Health Awareness Month. I'd like to just throw it almost as if we're doing a game show today and like spinning the wheel.
Okay.
And the wheel's spinning and we land on early childhood trauma. Do you want to go there and talk about that or childhood maybe challenges? Maybe that's a nicer way to say it.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I struggled with some different childhood traumas. I was a victim of sexual assault by a neighbor, an adult neighbor, and it was a very progressive situation. And so, you know, for me, I had very little understanding about it until I was an adult and went, you know, through therapy about it and all that, because I really thought it was my fault because I kept going back. Under
How
the
old
premise,
are you?
11.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just having such compassion because I know, first of all, what's really sad is for anyone that's had any sexual violation or domestic violence, it is so much more common when you start talking to your friends. Like one of my friends that's a therapist, I'm a psychiatrist. She's like, Denise, I feel like everyone I know has been raped. I'm not trying to diminish, but I had
situation. No, it's true. Because I had
a situation when I was on a trip when I was 14 years old before going into high school with an older boy that was over 18 that took me, like I was violated as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we're here, we're celebrating your sobriety, but we have to look back. You know, I'm a child psychiatrist and a mother and an adult psychiatrist as well, but we have to look back to what are some of our early, like our genetics, plus our environment, plus our spiritual, how do we have mind, body, soul health? So, okay, so you had this trauma and when did you realize it's, you know, when you're 11, it depending on how someone grooms you for any sexual trauma, you know, it could start to feel like normal play. Mm-hmm. And I've had friends that when I was in residency, one of my other colleagues said that her uncle who adopted her turned it into a whole thing where he had to keep a secret from the aunt and she was so little. And so I think these really tough taboo, you know, rape, sexual trauma, people talk about it, but they don't know how to talk about it in an eloquent, healing way.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of us also, we suppress it for so long that, you know, eventually it will come out. For me, it came out in hysteria in drunken nights in the earlier years of my drinking. And I had no idea what was going on. I didn't realize that was PTSD from that trauma. And so it's crazy how those things will surface. And I think it is important that, you know, we find a way to talk about it with a professional or, you know, a therapist so that we can move through it as we get able to.
Well, you eloquently described the level of mind, body, soul. Like you've done treatment, you've had a psychiatrist, you've done therapy. I think you last time shared you were getting off meds. One thing that dawned on me as I I re-released my Rocking a Betrayal series with this incredible individual, Donna Anderson, who was a victim of love fraud. I was a victim of fraud on a very large scale. I did Rocking a Betrayal season one. I just did not want my name to be known with this guy. So I have all the articles buried in the show notes because I don't want that. I'm Dr. Denise. Like, I'm not being defined by that sociopath. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is that you alluded to, because this week I've launched so many shows on, you know, Rocking a Betrayal, sociopaths, but you mentioned that there was a lot besides that childhood sexual trauma, that you had some trauma with adults in your life with regards to use of religion. Do you feel comfortable sharing it? By the way, if I say anything or ask anything that's too direct, let me know.
Oh, I'm an open book with this stuff. I think that my vulnerability and me talking about this stuff is now my power. It's no longer my pain, and it brings strength to my healing. So happy to talk about it. Thank you, though,
I want to make sure everyone knows this, though. If you're ever in an interview and someone asks you a question and it doesn't feel right for your soul, put a boundary to it and say no.
Absolutely.
If you're not ready to talk about something. Yes, because sometimes I know, like, someone in my practice that's really early in her sobriety again, she's so sick. She's like almost like a pro at rehab, but not a pro at getting sober yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, oh no, do I have to tell my story again? So I think I just want to honor, like, wherever you're at today, because you're just kicking butt. But I think it's nice in the Mental Health Awareness Month to talk about, not only have you overcome, you know, childhood sexual trauma, but you've kind of hinted towards some really tough adult relationships growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was a lot of do as I say, not as I do in my household. I grew up in a conservative religion. Some people might be familiar with the name of Mormons or LDS, Latter-day Saints. That was the religion I grew up in. And it was just a lot of strong rules, you know, and a lot of rules that I didn't have any understanding around. And when I would question it, I couldn't really get answers that would suffice for me. So it was really hard to have parents that loved me, because my parents did love me very much. My dad had addiction problems. He still does to this day. But religion is how they survived, and religion is important to them. And they put that on their kids. And that was traumatic for me. I did end up leaving the church in high school when I discovered that I could, you know, that I was at a point in my life independently or mature enough, I guess I should say, that I could make that choice. It's been hard to navigate in my adulthood, but we have come to a place where we can all just accept each other for who we are and how we choose to practice our faith, or not practice our faith, I guess.
Well, I just really listened to, I always like to be here as though I'm hearing and meeting you for the first time, like a mindful, this is the moment we have, call it the moment of now.
Yeah.
And when I hear that, and I want to broaden it out to anyone listening, when we're children and any sort of belief system, that could be, it could be a belief in, I'm a sports fan. It could be a belief in a religion. It could be a belief in an individual. When we're surrounded with adults that are role models in any way, and they violate us, and they've been using some sort of name or some sort of rule following system, let's say a dogmatic system, and then their words, thoughts, and actions are not in alignment. They're not in what I say in integrity. That's where you have what I call a mind fuck.
It's a major disconnect, and it's confusing as hell for children to figure out.
Yes. So I want to give a tip and a tool, and I'd love for you to weigh in. I talked to my son about protect your brain. It's a real simple concept for all of us, right? It's a universal truth. And so when I started my podcast way back when, I interviewed someone, by the way, I know sports are amazing, but there's different sports where you can have concussions. So I've used this idea of protect your brain with everything. And my son's birth mom is sober off heroin. And he knows that my father had alcoholism and got sober. Right. And so I don't have any alcohol in my house while he's a teen at all. And also, I just have decided for me and my neuro style just to occasionally have a social drink out. And he knows that. But I strategically said to him that he and I, because I didn't want to make it like your birth mom, because he and I are mother and son.
Right.
I really normalized, like, your brain develops till age 25. You've got to protect your brain. The longer you don't use substances, the better it is, executive functioning. So my son, I don't know how it is raising your kids, and your kids are younger, but I like to educate and then be the role model. Because I think then I'm matching up. If I was kicking back and getting buzzed 3 or 4 nights a week in my home, what kind of message does that give to my son?
Exactly. And that's what I did for a long time. And I'm so grateful that today I can be the example. I can discuss alcohol and the, you know, detriments of it, but also lead by example and say, you know, I don't do that because of this. I explain my genetics, but I also discuss that it's a toxin, you know, that yes. That it is ethanol. There's no healthy alcohol. That's not a thing. So yeah, we have very frank discussions around brain health as well. And the same thing about, you know, your brain is growing until you're 25, and maybe wait until then to make the decision. Cause then at least you've got the ability to really make the choice.
Absolutely. And one thing I love about your social media feed and what you're doing in the world, I love your strong, your viewpoints. I love what you wrote about how, you know, like kind of like the American way, and like all these commercials and everything glorifying like use of alcohol, right?
Right.
Can you comment on that, about your passion for your creative, eyes wide open posts?
Well, it's everywhere we turn. You turn on, you know, a playlist on your app, and it's, for me, I listened to a country playlist the other day, and I could not believe the 4 songs in a row were about heavy drinking. And I was just like, this is just crazy. You know, every commercial, it's glorified. I was listening to the radio on the way to take my kids to school this morning. And the DJ said, you know, enjoy the show tonight with a glass of wine. And it's like, why did he have to even put that in there? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Why? Just those little nuanced things that are placed constantly in front of us that I didn't recognize. Or maybe I did, and I was grateful that it was all there because it gave me justification. But now I see it for what it is, and it's scary. And it's like big alcohol is hunting its prey. It's nuts.
Well, it's a huge moneymaker. And I love everything you've said. And so I think everything in moderation. But for me, I, you know, at the age I am, I adopted my son in my late 30s. And my top priority is living as long as I can to be here for him.
Yeah, we want to be around and be healthy and be strong and have energy and vitality.
I love what you said. I saw that post when you're like, can you comment on your post? Okay, it's a lot different being sober, watching the kids, not only one day, but 4 days.
Oh my gosh. So, Kay, the thing is, I have been a parent for over a decade now. My daughter's turning 11 this year. And I have not once been able to be with my children alone for more than one night until right now, this weekend, while we're talking. My husband is on vacation with his friends, and I'm home with the kids, and it's good. I can do it. You know, I'm trustworthy again, and I'm here. I'm present. I'm a mom. I'm doing the damn thing.
Well, can I just say something? When I saw that picture of you, I think you were throwing a ball to the dog in your front yard.
Yeah.
I was thinking, there's a lot of parenting that we do, and this is a shout out to all parents. There are a lot of like tasks that are fun for kids that age that aren't fun for us.
Have to
show. Yes. So when you made that comment, I almost like read between the lines. I remember like trying to self entertain myself. I'm like, dun, dun, dun. What music can I listen to? Dun, dun, dun. This is kind of boring. And then I remember when my son was 5, he brought the Legos to me. And it was one of those huge, for me, like overwhelming, like 911 Lego kits. So it's just not my neuro style to sit there for that long. And so the way I handled that parenting challenge is I looked at him and I said, honey, you have a 5-year-old brain. I have a this-year-old brain. This is your happiness. I love you. I'm going to set a timer and I'm going to do this with you for 20 minutes.
Yes.
And at the end of 20 minutes, I'm going to hire this out to your older stepbrother at the time. I was honest with him because he knows.
But they're like, thrilled even for the 20 minutes, yes. You know, because that's all you need. It's just a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be all day. You don't have to build the whole thing with him because, like you said, you're going to be miserable if you do that.
Yes.
We don't want that.
When I saw you going, dun, 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 a 4-day trip and then starting to throw the ball. I'm like, oh my God, everyone, parents, use timers. You can do. And because then they actually get more excited. I do this thing where we call it family time. And my son's a teenager now. And so I'm lucky whenever he wants to do anything creative or fun with him, I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Cause I know those days will be numbered. Right. But
right.
We call it family time. And even if we just go sit at the couch and, you know, I'm a dog person, but we have cats right now and the cats come up next to us, even that less than 5 minutes holds sacred space and quality time and allows a child to feel listened to and paying attention. And to me, that's when we just go back to the very beginning of our appointment with each other. We talked about
we're both so used to appointments. It makes sense.
No. But it's actually when we think about it, you were talking about your childhood trauma, and I think mental wellness and mental health starts with a stable foundation, a great routine. When we're children, being aware of our genetics, making sure we play with our kids. So I feel like right now you are doing so much in your family household, and you're such a champion for being able to love yourself enough to choose sobriety. I mean, I know you don't want to get cocky with that, but how is that for you to think about your mental health right now?
My mental health has never been better. I thought that I had really good mental health maybe in high school before I ever started drinking and had gotten some firm, you know, stances on some stuff. But now, having gone through the experience of alcoholism really brought some strength to me because you and I have talked about you're coming out with something soon, Unfuckwithable. When we go through hard stuff, that's what gives us the power and the strength. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate that you have to go through it, but that's how we grow.
Yes.
And so I'm so happy to be where I am today. But I also have to practice gratitude daily. I have to do a lot of things still habitually in order to maintain, you know?
Can we talk about that? Because I have to tell you, today I had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. I had a really bizarre situation happen. Sunday night, I was watching the eclipse. I had the best, most funnest night with my son. We did this really creative 4-minute and 30-second, my son, my teacher, hilarious video clips of like making cleaning fun. And by the way, he never got his room done. We just did that instead. That's like the joke.
Cute. That's cute though.
Yeah. So then we went out to everyone knows I love to swim and swimming is my healthy addiction. But I somehow had a cut on my foot and it got infected with some sort of rare bacteria in the jacuzzi. And the infection started getting so bad so fast that Tuesday morning when I went to the doctor, they thought I might have to see a surgeon.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, it's really serious. In fact, it's still healing. I'm only on day 4 of antibiotics. And the reason why I'm saying this is sometimes you and I, of course, I'll post this on social media today. We're going to look so happy and bright. And we are. It doesn't mean I don't have really challenging days and I woke up and my toe, it's still healing, but it needs to be, I need to take it easy and elevate it the rest of the day. Right. And I had to ask myself the question, this is a mental health tip, everyone. Ask yourself questions moment to moment when you have your structure. Is this healing for me? Is this a good self-care? Can I do it? Especially when you have a mood state, an injury, a physical state. And so I literally looked at my calendar and I have, you know, a pretty decent day. And I'm like, how can I do a positive self-talk? I just want to be in a lazy river all day and put my foot up. But I looked at it and I saw your name.
Aww.
And I thought, Shay. Oh my God, Shay. Shay has days when she wants to flip people off too. Shay has days when she doesn't want to take the kids somewhere. Shay, I could tell when she was throwing that ball. She's trying to convince herself of how fun it was going to be throwing that ball.
This is so fun, I just wanted to, for four days.
Exactly. So I wanted to like weigh in that I made the choice, though. Of course, if my health in any way was suffering so much that I needed to change this interview, I would. But I just wanted to let people, we need to be mindful in the moment. And I thought this was a good self-care because for me, doing shows and meeting inspirational people like you and chatting, it does fuel my soul if I'm healthy enough. So I made a strategic choice.